funnily enough, I would have almost agreed with you at the time.
But it could have been different. They could have made it fair. Let you get further away before they came after you, so that your death wasn't absolutely inevitable. Allowed you to find your hiding places and use them. That would have made a difference, wouldn't it?
Almost, I said. Of course, there would have been the small matter that I never volunteered for it.
Maybe you would have, too, if it was worth it, if there was a prize, if you thought you could make it through the game.
What was your prize, Voronov?
The pain, he said. It's absolution. For a few days, at least.
I started to answer him, probably. I think I did, anyway. It might have been Zebra, or it might have been the taciturn heavy with the bludgeon-sized gun. All I remember with any clarity is what happened several seconds later, the intervening moments neatly edited from memory. There must have been a pulse of light and heat at first, as the other car opened fire on us. Then there would have been a blast of eardrum-piercing sound as the shockwave of the beam weapon slammed through the flensed-open cabin, followed by an explosion of metal and plastic and composites as the car's innards eviscerated themselves in a hot cloud of fused machinery. Then we would have dropped, as the shattered roof-mounted arms, amputated and twisted by the attack, lost their grip on the cables. A second or so later, our descent was arrested, violently, and that was when, approximately, something like normal consciousness resumed. My first memory, before the pain hit, was that the car was upside down, with the mound-like table now dimpling down from the ceiling, and the neon-patterned floor evincing a gaping, jagged hole through which the lower reaches of the city, the festering complexity of the mulch, was far too clear and far too far below. The heavy was gone, except for his gun, which was rattling to and fro on the new floor as the car lurched and swayed, adjusting to its precarious new equilibrium. The heavy's hand was still present, clasped around the gun. It had been neatly severed by shrapnel. Seeing the bony details of the wrist reminded me of the absence of my foot in the tent after we had been ambushed by Ryvich's people. The way I had pawed at the stump and held my blood-drenched palm to my face, in abject denial that a part of me had been removed, like a strip of annexed territory. Except, as I now knew, none of that had happened to me. Zebra and I had tumbled into one corner of the cabin, thrown together in an untidy embrace. There was no sign of Voronov, or any parts of Voronov. I was being assailed by waves of pain, but as I began to pay particular attention to my discomfort, I decided there was nothing sharp enough to be actual broken bones. The car swayed and creaked. It was remarkably quiet, apart from our breathing and the soft moaning which came from Zebra.
"Tanner," she said, opening her eyes to pained slits, "what just happened?"
"We were attacked," I said, realizing that she had had no knowledge of the other vehicle, that she had not been expecting anything at all, whereas I had been mentally tensed for some kind of intervention. A heavy beam weapon, probably. I think we're stuck in the canopy.
"Are we safe?"
she asked, wincing as she untangled one limb.
"No. Wait. Stupid question. Incredibly stupid question."
"Are you hurt?"
Just a moment."
Her eyes, glazed as they were, conspired to glaze a degree more for an instant.
"No.
Nothing that can't wait for a few hours."
"What did you just do?"
"Checked my body image for damage." She said it dismissively. "How about you, Tanner?" "I'll make it, assuming any of us makes it." The car lurched, slipping vertically downwards before something arrested its progress, shakily. I tried to keep my gaze away from the maw in the floor, but if anything, the mulch looked further away.